and so thankful you came to worship with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for your grace that is abundant, Lord, and always poured out unto us, Lord. God, from generation to generation, you've been so good, Lord. And in our lives, we can say you've been good and faithful, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the power of your cross, Lord, available unto us, Lord. We pray, thank you, God, for the victory over sin and death. And we give you all the glory and praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness, if it wasn't for the cross. You have won me with your kindness. You chased me down when I was lost. And where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah. All my shame was met with mercy. All my shame was met with mercy. And now your mercy will be my song. And all the glory and all the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner.
I was a prisoner, now I'm not with you. Come on and lift hallelujah one more time.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah.
Thank you today, Lord.
Majesty, we crown you.
sing your praise forever and lift your name. We lift your name, Jesus,
sing
Lord
his praise.
Of
we
all.
Sing your praise.
We sing your praise. Sing your praise. Sing your praise forever and lift your name. We lift your name, Jesus, Lord.
Let's sing his praise.
We sing your praise. Sing your praise. We sing your praise forever and lift your name. We lift your name, Jesus, Lord of all. 'Cause one name is higher, one name is stronger than any grave, than any throne. Christ exalted over all, the only Savior, Jesus Messiah. Exalted, oh,
to you alone,
to you alone, our praise belongs. Christ exalted,
all the world. Then we're so thankful you're here today. Let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, we love you and thank you. Thank you for this worship team and everybody that's involved in setting all this up. And thank you for everybody who took the time just to drive in today. And I just ask you to lay your hand of favor and blessing upon them, Lord. God, move by your Spirit today as we gather. Thank you, Lord, for the anticipation of next week and starting church again. Help us, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for what you're going to do in us through all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Isn't it a great day? Just glad you're here today. What?
Wait. We want to say 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
We want to say thank you from all of us staff to you guys. You guys are awesome. You guys gave us an amazing gift on Wednesday. Thank you so much. We absolutely love it.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. I think they did like it, ladies and gentlemen. It was awesome. I think they stayed up all night playing with it, most of those. In case you missed it, for staff appreciation, the church gave each of the guys an iPad or a MacBook Pro, and if you missed that, you can go to Facebook and watch that. It was just an amazing thing there at the end. You can fast forward and watch the end, the climax of it all. It was awesome. It was just awesome. Listen, tomorrow night we begin in the sanctuary at 6:30 with a night of prayer. And I can't think of a better thing to do than to begin again with prayer. So I would encourage you, if you can, be here. We're going to spread out over the sanctuary and just pray. Just an hour from 6:30 to 7:30, and then you're free to go. But we just want to begin again with prayer. And then Wednesday night, we're doing our soft launch where all of us, we're going to practice what the things we have on paper. You can help us practice by showing up and being a part of the usher team. I don't know. I just wish the ushers right now would adjust the thermostat a little, because I'm feeling a little heat up here this morning, and they're just dereliction of duty or something. I don't know. But next Wednesday night we'll do the little soft lunch, and it'll be a good thing. Next Wednesday, pay attention to your emails. We're doing 3 services: 9, 10, and 11. The 10 o'clock service is primarily for senior adults. We're trying to set aside a special time, a special place for senior adults, because we want to protect everybody involved with the virus, okay? So the other thing I'd like to say is just thank you for your giving. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Every day there's an envelope in the mail. Every day there's something online. You guys have just been amazing. And there's not a day that I haven't got the mail or checked online or just get a report from the Miss Olivia and just hear. And I'm just thankful for every one of you. And I just thank you for that. Every little bit matters. And you guys are proven to be very faithful. And I want to thank you for that. Listen, when you leave the day, if you'll just make sure you drive around the building. We had a little issue last service because someone thought they could just go out. And we almost had a little event. So if you could just help us with the traffic flow, that would be a good thing. Even if you guys sitting over here, just drive around the building. It'll do your heart good. And it'll help us with the flow. And not to mention, Perry wants to raise some money for BGMC. For the boys and girls. And last count I heard the boys were winning. Go boys. And so we'll see how that goes. Today I want to talk to you from Mark. We're going through Mark. And this is a timely word for every one of us today. We're going to talk about the water walker. Jesus who knows how to walk on water to take care of our fears. That's the God we serve. So let's just begin reading in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 52. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up to the mountain to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. Verse 48, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the water, the lake, they thought he was a ghost and they cried out. Because they all saw him, they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. Lord, in the next few moments, I just ask you to touch our hearts and our lives. Help us to hear your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to comprehend it. And may it speak to our hearts where we are. What we're living through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's very significant that Jesus sends his disciples on ahead of them. If you remember the previous story in the feeding of the 5,000, they showed up and they were withdrawing because they were tired, because they were hungry. They were getting away for some rest. And then they feed 5,000. And then Jesus sends them away so that he could take care of and dismiss, give a little ease for them. And they end up fighting against the wind in the midst of the storm all night long. So you can see something in there. Jesus is teaching them something. And I think there's great lessons in this passage of Scripture that can teach us as well. He is trying to teach them. He teaches them in several ways, you know. He teaches by speaking, he teaches by doing, and then he teaches them through the experiences that they have to walk through in the midst of. And that's what he's doing in this situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. He goes to the mountain and prays, and he sends them on their way. The disciples always get in trouble when Jesus is not with them. Mark that down, because the same is true for all of us. When Jesus is not with us, when we're not inviting Jesus, staying attached to Jesus, that's when we're going to get in trouble. And the Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that they need him, that life is better with him. What's he doing? He's praying. Time and time again in the New Testament, you will see Jesus getting by himself and praying to the Father. So he dismisses the crowd. Think about this. He dismisses, sends the disciples on their way. He dismisses it, goes to the mountain and pray. And many scholars feel like at 3 a.m. he comes walking on the water. So he just doesn't do a 5-minute prayer. He has a long conversation with the Father, a long conversation about what was going on. And the scripture says that when he was in prayer, now think about that, because the writer of Hebrews says that he is Jesus ever interceding for us. He knows what we're going through right now. He sees it before, in the middle, and after. Don't forget, he is the sovereign Lord. Yes, yes. And the repeating theme. So there are two themes in this, that when the disciples are away from Jesus, they get in trouble. And the other is this, their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. They see Jesus do all kinds of things, but yet in the middle of trouble, they're the ones afraid. They see Jesus do all kinds of things for other people, but when they need a touch, the situation overwhelms them. There's a good lesson in there for us. The scripture says he went to be with them at 3 a.m., walking on the water. Listen, he does, that is, Jesus does what you and I cannot do. Understand, you and I are not going to walk on water. He does. I don't know if you've ever been to the place when you've run out of things to do, situations and how to respond to them. When you've run out of resources within your own limits, listen, God knows how to come through for us. Never forget that. I think the disciples struggling against the wind were blown off course, and they're frantic. They're fearful. Not to mention, they have come to the end of their rope. They're tired, they're hungry, and now they're afraid. They're afraid. They see Jesus walking on the water. Now, in the Old Testament, we have what we call theophanies, the appearances of God in the Old Testament. And this is one of those moments where the writer of Mark is trying to draw a parallel to what is going on in the Old Testament about this theophany, this Jesus that's coming and passing by. Because when Moses was on the mountain, God would pass by him as well. And so it is, in the midst of this trouble, Jesus shows up. In Job chapter 9, verse 8, Job, it's an amazing thing, in the midst of his trouble, listen to what he says. He's talking about God. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Think about that for a moment. Job said that. He goes on to say in verse 10 and 11, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes me, I cannot see him. And when he goes by, I cannot perceive him. I don't know, but I don't want to miss God. When he passes, I don't want to miss his opportunity to speak to my heart, to walk in my life. So what do the disciples do? They cry out when they see this ghost-like figure. They cry out. They saw him and were terrified. You see, the popular belief was this, that in the night at sea, spirits would arise out of the ocean and sink boats, and all kinds of bad things would go on. That was the popular belief that brought about disasters. Here the disciples are afraid, and their fear is unfounded. I don't know if you've ever had a situation or circumstances where the fear was unfounded. They think he's a ghost. Here's the deal. He was not a ghost. It was Jesus. Their thinking was wrong. And their thinking promoted fear, not faith. In the midst of our plague, I hope your thinking is not building fear, that your thinking is building faith and keeping faith alive in your heart. Listen, this is what I know. Not having enough information will create fear. You and I need to understand that. Fear, lack of information will create fear in the storms of life. And when your thinking is not going in the right direction, fear will arise. Fear will arise. Matter of fact, fear is a good indicator that you probably need to change or get back in contact with the sovereign Lord who knows how to take care of you, who takes care of us. When you're fearing something that's not a reality, they thought it was a ghost. When you're fearing something that's, fear rises out of false distortions. Fear, unchecked fear, brings panic to one's heart. And this is what I know. Truth dissipates fear. You and I are called to walk in truth. God has called us to be people of truth. And that's part of the reason why we're not motivated by fear. I don't know. When I got saved, I was afraid of going to hell. And when I came in contact with the truth that Jesus was my Savior, I stopped fearing going to hell. Truth always dissipates fear. Truth always dissipates fear. Praise God. And the more I grow in truth, the less I fear. The more mature I become, and the less captive I am to the lies of fear. We call that discernment in the kingdom of God. You know the other thing that fear does? Fear limits the perception of true reality. They were so tired, so afraid, that their fear distorted the perception. And they almost missed Jesus. Wow. This is the beauty of Jesus. Immediately he spoke to them. Sometimes what you and I need is a strong word from Jesus. And this is what he says. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. You see, when courage shows up, fear leaves. Or when fear shows up, courage for living dies. I was listening to a testimony of a young man the other day that was battling depression. And he said this, one of the things I knew I was in trouble is when I lost the courage to live, when I lost the courage to meet somebody, a new friend, when I lost the courage to drive down the road, when I lost the courage to go out and be. Listen, that's a good indicator to us that fear is winning, and we need to get back in touch with the man who knows how to speak a word. Take courage. Take courage. This is what I know. Fear is a choice. Fear is a choice. Don't be afraid. Remember the words of the Lord. Remember the words of the Lord. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says this, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. We belong to the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that? Huh? Praise God. And when he climbed into the boat, this is what it says in verse 51. When he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. Notice the activity of Jesus. He stays behind. He prays. He saw. And he's still seeing us. And then he goes to them walking on the water. He gets into the boat with them. He speaks a word, and it's a good word for us in the middle of a plague. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Jesus calms his disciples with a word and his presence. Think about that for a moment. He calms the disciples with his word and his presence. And I'm glad to know we have both of those with us today. Peace. Peace in the storm. Calm the fear in our hearts through his word, through his presence. The disciples were wore out. They were finished. They had done. They had fought. They were all spent out. And Jesus knows how to take care of us with his word and with his presence. Look at what it says in verse 52. For they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Listen, the same God who can multiply the bread is the same God who walks on the water, is the same God who knows how to take care of us. Aren't you thankful for that? You see, they forgot. They forgot to take notice of the multitudes of bread they had left over. That he who calms the sea is the one who is sovereign over all. And the sovereign Lord knows how to take care of us. They forgot God's word works in the present to meet the needs of his people. And they lacked understanding to what he was doing. Which is a clue to our own hearts when we lack understanding that maybe our hearts need to be softened a little bit. At this point, when the hardening of their hearts, they're no different than the Pharisees and the scribes that are against Jesus. They're all on the same boat. It would come over time that they would be willing to lay down their life, come to a place to believe and have faith that he who fed the multitudes, who walked on the waters, also declared, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't you glad he's with you today? He is awesome. You see, fear has no place with the assurance of his word. Fear has no place with when his presence shows up. I'm thankful for his word and for his presence over my life. In Psalm 115, verses 9 through 15, the psalmist says some things, and I want you to go home later on today, and I want you to read Psalm 115. 115. Listen to what he says. You Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron. My thing's messing up, and I can't read it. Oh, there it is. We can get it. The house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people. He, Israel, he will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish. That's my prayer for you today. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May the Lord bless you, the maker of heaven and earth. May the Lord bless you today with his word, with his presence, to dissipate the fear that has captivated so many people. Rise up in faith, know his word, be men and women of his presence. Amen. Honk your horn. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your people, and I thank you for your word and your presence. I thank you, Lord God, for the word for the disciples is a good word for us today. Take courage. Fear not. You are with us. I love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you for your hand of blessing upon your people. Psalm 115 is a great word for us, Lord. May your favor fall on your people in the midst of where we are. Help us to learn. Help us not to miss you walking by in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, Amen! Amen! Here's a neat little lesson here. Jesus says, take courage. I am here. In the translation, you could, in the Greek, translate it, the I am is here. Isn't that awesome? Which refers what? Back to the Old Testament. Who do people say that God is. Or what are you supposed to call me, Moses? I am that I am. The I am made a promise to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Take courage. Fear not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you for driving in today and making a special effort to be at Freedom Church today. Remember, live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another boldly. Amen, amen, and amen. Drive around the building, and I hope to see you next Sunday in the building. God bless you. We love you. Bye.